Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm very pleased to be able to share another broadcast with you. You've tuned me in by the way of WION, I-1430 AM at 92.7 or 92.7 FM, and over in the low 8 area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome each and every one of you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. Bring your mouse up over messages from the Lighthouse. Current media will show up. You click on current media and the broadcast is right there. Whatever way you join me, I'm just happy to have you being with me this morning. And we're going to enjoy a message that all of us deal with from time to time in our life in just a few moments. But first, I got to say thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area. I also got to say thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. And for Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for about 50 years and still attend there when I can. And I need to let you know that the services at Shiloh begin Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then we do a contemporary service at 10:45. We have a campus over in Greenville. It's located in the old Calvary Baptist Church, which is the corner of Grove and LeRae Street, and that Sunday morning service is at 11 o'clock. Once again, I say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music for this morning. She's done a good job. She's done that for me for a lot of years, and I just have appreciated her so much. Well, that takes care of the things I need to take care of for the services. I just need to let you know, folks, it is surely wonderful to be a part of a church, and surely wonderful to see the people respond the way they have for Bev and I. You know, I was doing all the cooking at home because my wife's not able to do it. And when I got down, then the church took over, and they've been bringing in meals now for over a month. They bring in, I haven't cooked any of the meals except breakfast, and they have been so good, and they've got some good cooks, and they also have been such a blessing to me. And I may address that a little later, but we just need to realize that's something that is very, very special. And I just say thank you to all of those that has helped us in this difficult time of our life. In whatever way you've helped us, I sure have appreciated it very much. Our message for this morning is a kind of timely message. We struggle from time to time with loneliness that is caused by many different things. Loneliness at every age, no matter if it's young or old or what, or in between, that loneliness can hit you from time to time. And we're going to address that this morning, and God's got some things he wants to share with us that'll be a help to each and every one of us, and I'm sure the message can be an encouragement to you. But before we do, we got a song we want us to listen to, and this is just a song. It's not very long, but it's just sharing with us lonely people. There's a lot of lonely people in our world today. COVID-19 has caused some of that. This winter has been a little different winter. This has been some really cold weather just lately, and so the winter's been a little different, and so we need to realize there's a lot going on in our life, and that we can't do the things the way we always did it, and that's going to create loneliness. So we'll listen to this song, and I'll be right back in just a few moments.
This is for all the lonely people, thinking that life has passed them by. Don't give up until you drink from the silver cup, ride that highway in the sky. This is for all my single people, thinking the life has left them dry. Don't give up until you drink from the silver cup. You never know until you try.
Song for us to start with this morning, especially when we're talking about loneliness. This is for all the lonely people. This message this morning is for all the lonely people. And you, the listening audience, I want to remember you in prayer this morning. You're my congregation. I can't see your faces, but I can know that there's many, many people that have tuned me in this morning. Because you keep telling me in the supermarket and different places I see you that you listen to me on the radio, and that's very special. So I want to remember you, and I want to remember any unspoken requests that you might have. So let's just go to the Lord Jesus for just a minute. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come to you, Father, because you tell us your ear is always open unto our cry. We come to you, Father, because you tell us that you are a very present help in our time of trouble. And today, Father, we want to think about the loneliness that we all experience from time to time in our life. And I want to pray especially for the listening audience. I want to pray for those that's going through a lonely time right now, that they might sense that your presence is with them, that they might sense that you have promises that you've given to them. And as we share the message this morning, Father, we want it to be one of a message of comfort and encouragement. And so I pray for the listening audience, no matter what age they might be, if they're going through loneliness this morning, I pray that you come alongside of them and give them the encouragement that they need. And dear fathers, we pray for their listening audience. We also want to pray for any unspoken requests that they might have. Right now, if that individual focuses on that unspoken request, Father, I'm going to ask you to be pleased to bless and meet the need of that unspoken request according to your will. So, Father, if they need direction, would you give them direction? If they got to make a decision, would you give them the wisdom to know how to make that decision? Father, if they just need to be a time of maybe moving forward, to say, okay, we've waited long enough, let's move forward and see what we can see happens as a result of that. Whatever way, Father, you can lead them, I pray that you will lead them and direct them. And I'll thank you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus. and for his sake. Amen. Well, dear people, as we think about the message this morning, you know, there's always times when I was the pastor at Shiloh Church, I knew there was always going to be some hurting people in the audience. And I know this morning there's hurting people in the audience. And I always wanted to be a help to them whatever way I could. And so this subject this morning, because we all have go through times of loneliness, and so we need some encouragement from God's word. I'm going to share a thing that I came across, first of all. That I'm sharing this about the different people in the Bible. And I'm sharing it not to discourage you, but to encourage you that people of all generations, people with all kinds of backgrounds, people with all kinds of things they were facing in life, they had times of discouragement, and they had times of loneliness. And this loneliness would go to work in their life. And you know, one of the things I found as I went through this list, that loneliness was God's place to do his greatest work. God sometimes can help us the best when we get still and know that he is God. And I don't mind telling you, I've had some lonely times this last month and a half or so. And I think COVID has made us have some lonely times. Not being able to do the things that we always were able to, not being able to give the hugs that we like to give, not being able to get together as often as we want to get together, always putting on a mask and those kinds of things, created loneliness. And then the loneliness is even increased as you go through some things in your life. So let me just share with you. It was a lonely, dejected Elijah that heard God's voice. He hid himself in a cave, and God came to him. It was a weary, lonely path of faith that God came to Abraham. It was in the lonely hours following failure that Jesus came to Peter and restored him. It was in the lonely midnight hours that Jacob wrestled with an angel. It was in the loneliness of barrenness that Hannah pleaded for a baby. It was in loneliness that Daniel received his greatest vision from God. It was in loneliness that the pit of Jeremiah found to renew the burden of the people. I think it was loneliness that the pit in prison that Joseph felt, God continued to fulfill the dream that he had given to Joseph. It was in loneliness of prayer that our Lord Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, cried out, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He even came and found the disciples asleep, and he said, "Could you not wait with me for an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." It was in the loneliness of Mary of Bethlehem when she went to realize that she was giving birth to the baby Jesus. But it was the loneliness of Mary of Bethlehem when she stood by the cross of her son Jesus, dying for the sins of the world. I believe we need to realize that loneliness is a power. It's a strong power. It's a power beyond us. That loneliness can sink into our life. At different times, we all have different types of loneliness. It can be after a great spiritual victory or blessing. We can experience the power of loneliness even in a big crowd. I remember doing a radio broadcast when I was doing it over in Greenville, and I would go there to the station. The gentleman that worked there, he was in the entertainment business, and I was always around the crowd. And that day my message was being alone in the crowd. And as I preached, I noticed that he began to tear up. And afterwards he told me, I would be in front of audiences of thousands of people and go back to my motel room and cry myself to sleep. Loneliness, even in a crowd of people. We must consider we cannot take away the loneliness of another person, because the loneliness would want you to be there constantly. But you know what? We also need to realize that other people can't take away our loneliness. We just have to deal with that thing, and I think this is a good message to cause us to realize that God wants us to realize that loneliness we can take to Him, and He'll give us encouragement. Somebody has said one of the first negative things that God ever said after He was creating the world, He kept saying, "It is good, it is good, it is good," when He created different parts of the world. And then it says, when He created man, He said, "It is not good for man to be alone." That's good for us to know. Not good for us to be alone. We do need people. And that's kind of where I would like to begin this morning, as we think about this idea of so much loneliness within our world. But at the same time, that we need to realize that we need some, realize that there's some good side to loneliness. There's some good side to being alone. You know, every once in a while, we all have to do something that just gets us away from our normal routine. It's the idea that we got to do something that is going to make us to reach out and see what we're able to gain for ourselves or for somebody else. So I think the good side of loneliness, I think Jesus taught us that. I addressed this a couple of weeks ago, but I just want to remind you that there were so many times in Jesus' life that He was found up in the mountains by Himself. After a busy day, Jesus would go up into the mountains and He'd be alone and He'd have a time of prayer with His Father. That was pretty special, folks. That's how He gained power over that loneliness. Sometimes after He had been teaching a busy day, He went up into the mountains and He prayed. You know, one of the times when He chose His disciples, the Bible tells us He went up into the mountain. Now listen, He spent a night in prayer. Jesus got alone with God the Father. I believe we can learn from Jesus. He had times when on purpose He wanted to be alone and spend some time with His Heavenly Father. I also believe that you and I need to have times when we reflect upon how our day has gone, when we reflect even upon our life. How is our life going? Are we happy with what we're doing? We can see that there's a good side of being alone. "Be still," the Bible says, "and know that I am God." And that loneliness that we're going through as an individual, sometimes that's one of the things that we need to do, is just get alone with God and ask for His special help. I love the story of Moses, that when he fled Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian, and he was working for his father-in-law as a shepherd, he is taking care of a little flock of sheep on the backside of a desert. And he was about 80 years old now. I just turned 86. I turned 86 on Tuesday and had so many well wishes for my happy birthday. And I'm so glad that we are involved in so many people's life. But Moses just turned 80. And God came to him, and He came to him in a strange way, but a very simple way. You see, what happened, there was a bush that caught on fire. And out in the desert like that, those bushes caught on fire often. But what happened with this bush? It caught on fire, but you know, normally, in just a few moments, they're gone. They're something like a tumbleweed. All the thing was, this bush kept on burning. And it got the attention of Moses. I believe God knew that. He got the attention of Moses, and he went over, and he wanted to take a look at that bush. I'll go see what that bush is, why that bush is not burning up. I'll go see what's going on. When the Lord saw that Moses had come over to see it, God called to him from the bush. Can you imagine this? Being on the backside of the desert, being 80 years old, and all of a sudden you hear, Moses, Moses. Wow. Moses answered, here am I, God. Here am I. God said, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because the place where you're standing is holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people, the Jewish people in the land of Egypt. And I've heard their cry for deliverance. And I've heard their cry of all the sorrow and things they're going through. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And you know what I think Moses said? What do you say? What do you say, God? I'm 80 years old. I don't dare to go back to Egypt. You know, we need alone time with God. Because one of the things that I think sometimes causes loneliness is if we haven't got past our past. Sometimes if you're dwelling on something that happened in the past, and it was not a very difficult, it was a very difficult thing, rather, that you went through. And you know something? We got to get past that. I think it's really interesting when I study the Old Testament and I see that God took just a short period of time when things got ready to go. It just took God a short period of time to get the nation of Israel with millions of people out of the land of Egypt. But it took God the next 40 years to get Egypt out of the children of Israel. They kept saying, we want to go back. We want to go back. We want to live the way that we were living. That's better than this. You know, can I ask this question this morning? What's your Egypt? Something that happened a long time ago. Something that happened that maybe was very difficult for you to go through. Do you realize that some of your loneliness may be because you got to get past your past? And sometimes we have to do that in order to realize what God wants for us as we're going through this period of time. I said at the beginning of the broadcast that this loneliness comes from many different ways, and it comes at many different ages. And we need to realize it's caused by many different things. This loneliness that had happened in the nation of Israel was something that caused a whole lot of difficulty in their lives until they got past their past, and then they could move forward. Today, I'm thinking of this loneliness that leads to loneliness. You know, I got that backwards. Let me say it again. I think it's a good thing to be alone, excepting when being alone creates loneliness. Now I got it right. We have to realize that we don't want to be alone and become an isolated person. We need people in our life. We need to do things. I did a funeral this week. I did a funeral for one of the main reasons they called me and said, it's an older gentleman, 92. They would like to have you do the service. And I've always liked doing the services for those, in their 90s. That's pretty special, folks, when a person gets to live 90 years. And he was 92. And I went to do that service. But, you know, I got to be honest with you. The main reason I said yes to do that service was I needed to find out. I haven't been able to do a service. I haven't been strong enough. I feel this inner weakness. And I said to my wife, I need to go and find out what I can do. I need to drive to Ionia and do that funeral service. You know, when I came home, I was totally tired. But I got to tell you, I felt good that I was able to push myself beyond what I was able to do. I don't want you to isolate yourself, because that isolation can lead to some very difficult things. No, the Lord Jesus is going to be our teacher right now for just a few moments. And way back in the book of Isaiah, about 700 years before Jesus was born, it was told what Jesus was going to go through in his physical life. You know, he became flesh. He became like one of us, so he could die upon that cross for your sins and for mine. But in the book of Isaiah, it says, who has believed what we have, who has believed what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought that God's saving power would be like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny little seed, a scrubby little plant out of parched field. This is from the Message. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down upon. He was passed over. He was a man who suffered. He was a man who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, though he was the thought of him as scum. But the fact is, it was our pains that he carried, all of his disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought that he brought it on himself and that God punished him for being our failures. But it was our sins, my sins, your sins, that tore him apart, that crushed him. It was done for our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. Through his bruising, we get healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord has laid upon himself the sins of us all. God had a plan. And his plan was to take care of our sin, all the wrong that we had done, by punishing his son, the Lord Jesus. So that him who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for you and I, that we might receive the righteousness of God when we believe in him and ask for forgiveness. The path of Jesus' loneliness was something that was very difficult for him to go through. It came because he was a tender plant. It came because there was nothing attractive about him. It came because he was rejected. It came because people looked down on him. It came because he was wounded for others. And the loneliness that Jesus went through has provided healing for you and I, has given us a shepherd for our life, has given us the forgiveness of sin, of everything that we've ever done that's been wrong before God. The path of the loneliness of Jesus, he traveled for you and I. And we need to realize this path is the path that God chose for his son, Jesus. I found this thing and I like it. Because of all that Jesus went through, God understands you. He understands your pain. He understands your loneliness. He's a high priest that's been touched in every way like we were. He was tested. And yet he did not sin. And as a result of that, God has crowned him. God has crowned him, and he says in the scripture, it says, he's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to listen to a song, have us listen to a song right now. And this song is saying, Crown of Bright Glory. And God is shining his glory upon us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. I'll be right back.
Paul wrote to Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure now is at hand. I have fought a good fight. My course is now finished. A crown now is waiting when before God I stand. There is laid up for me, a crown of bright glory.
That is
why I must run this race faithfully.
There is
reserved for me, up in heaven a mansion.
That is
where I shall live eternally. Peter said, I've got an inheritance waiting. It's incorruptible and fades not away. I am kept by God's power through faith unto salvation. It now is awaiting to be rebuilt someday.
There is
laid up for me, a crown of bright glory.
That is
why I must run this race faithfully.
There is
reserved for me, up in heaven a mansion.
That is
where I shall live eternally.
That's so good to know, folks. You know who said that? Was a man by the name of Apostle Paul. He said, there's laid up for me because of what Jesus has done for me. Because what I've been doing for Jesus, there's laid up for me a crown of great glory. It's hard to understand this. It's really hard to be able to explain it in a way that it's understandable. But Jesus went on that path of loneliness. He did that so he could provide salvation for you and I. He did that so he could provide salvation for a man by the name of Saul, who is recorded about in the book of Acts. After Jesus had died and was buried and rose again and went back to heaven, this man by the name of Saul didn't like, he was a very religious man, a very religious man. But he didn't like people following Jesus and going away from the Jewish religion. So he started persecuting those that called themselves Christians. And he even had a letter of authority that gave him the right to put people who called themselves Christians in jail and to even kill them. And he had that letter in his possession and is on the road to Damascus. And Jesus struck him down. He laid on the ground. He was blinded. And all of a sudden a voice came and said, Saul, Saul, just like it did to Moses. Moses, Moses. And Saul said, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus who you're persecuting. I want you to know I got some things I want you to do for me. I want you to do for the Christian life. And Paul, it's going to be told you all the suffering that you're going to go through as an individual. Because you know what's going to happen? he's going to have a different journey in his life. And that's what God has said to you and I. He wants us to realize that we have a journey in our life that he wants us to travel down that journey. When I think of the Apostle Paul, and that's what they changed his name to, I sort of told you that. But Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul. And he said, I have a crown of great glory. And you know what? Through his life, he learned it wasn't about religion. It was about a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And when he started having that relationship with the Lord Jesus, I love what there's another Christian man that God spoke to. He said, I want you to go and I want you to be a friend to this man, Saul. And this man said, I've heard about him. He's come to arrest Christians. Paul, God said to this man, go to him. He's a chosen vessel of mine. He's going to bear my name to the Gentiles, that's you and I. He's going to bear my name to the kings. He's going to bear my name to the children of Israel, the Jewish people. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that's what he was called to do. His name was changed to Paul, and all of a sudden he became the first missionary. He became the messenger to many different things. Listen to what he said, though, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And we preach about ourselves, we say, we're bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. This light has shined on our hearts and given us light of knowledge of the glory of God and in the face of the Lord Jesus. But we have this treasure in our earthly vessel, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of ourselves. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Paul said, I'm going through a lot. Matter of fact, he said, I have some loneliness because there's a fellow by the name of Demas. He was walking wonderfully with the Lord, and all of a sudden, for the things of the world, he's turned his back on me, and he's turned his back on God. There was a time when Paul didn't really like to have Luke with him, but he says, he told Luke, rather, there's a time when he didn't have Mark with him, and he said, bring Mark because he's useful for me for the ministry. He had to make some changes in his life. What I want us to gain from that is that God's called us to do a work for him. And even if you go through some suffering as a result of the work that you're doing for God, God says to through this man, Paul, he said, I want you to know this is what you do in these kind of times. For all those hurts that you've received in your life, for all those disappointments that's caused you loneliness because of somebody else, for all of the pain that you may have gone through and you thought you wouldn't go through it, we need to realize God said to this man, Paul, rejoice, pray, continue to serve God in all the circumstances, and at the same time, make sure that God will be with you through it all. And God wants us to know that. He wants us to realize that that's a big part of your life as well as my life. And we need to know that. We need to learn that. You know, sometimes that loneliness comes because we focus upon the material things, or the things of this world, or the things of this particular period of your life. Have you noticed how that changes through the years? Things that you thought were so important when you was a child, you found out it wasn't that important. Things that you were able to do I think of life as the different seasons of life. And every season, I'm here to tell you this morning, has its loneliness that goes with it. Every change in your life has its loneliness. There's things that happen in our life. I love the Bible. I love God's teaching in the Bible. I love the way the Lord Jesus taught. No, one day there was a man that came to him, and he was a tremendously rich man. And he was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount prior to this, and Jesus said this, you know, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. And this man had come to Jesus, and he said to Jesus in the book of Matthew, a man came to him, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? He said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep his commandments. He said to him, which one? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said, all these things I have kept. I still feel like something's lacking. What's lacking in my life? Jesus said to him, if you want to move forward, if you want your life to be different than it is now, you want to be more complete or perfect, then this is what you need to do. And now this man is not ready to hear this. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And then come and follow me. And when the young man had heard that, he went away very sorrowful because he had great possessions. Might I just insert, and the possessions had great control over him. That's what happens sometimes when we get into these kind of situations, where you have more than you need and you don't reach out and help others. God blesses you so you can be a blessing, but he wasn't reaching out and helping others. The disciples, they were struggling with this teaching of Jesus. And when they got all done, they were with Jesus alone. And they said, how hard it is for a person to come into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to him, to them, you see what it is the wealth of this person. He's focused on that wealth. And this man became so sad, and Jesus became sad, because he could see that that wealth had a control of him. And Jesus mentioned it this way. He said, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God is as hard as a camel to go through an eye of a needle. He said, it's almost impossible. And the disciples said, What can we do? And I love what Jesus said to them. And he said, these things are impossible with man. But now listen, are you ready for this? But are possible with God. God's possible. God, it's possible for God to take away your loneliness. It's possible for God to give you a sense of direction for your life. Like it is none other. But there's one thing that the disciples had to work through. And I'm going to close with this one thing that they had to work through. And it's the one thing that you and I today have to work through. Is the realization that God says, your life is going to be made up of many different things. Your life is made up of laughter and tears. Your life is made up of good things and difficult things. Your life is made up of pain and joy. That's life. That's life at all ages. And we need to realize within those things we go through, is a possibility for loneliness to creep in. I'm not talking about being alone, but loneliness to take over your life. Loneliness to cause you to question. What's going on in your life cause you to question what God is going to do in your life. What I want to share next is the idea that I had learned when I was first introduced to Christianity. And it's been an idea that has really helped me a lot when I think about my life. Somebody has said, and you know, as kids growing up, we put a lot of puzzles together. You know, all those different pieces of puzzle. You look at the box cover and put them together. When my wife and I were first married, we still did a lot of those puzzles. We found one puzzle once that we had up to the cabin. We always had puzzles set up at the cabin. We had one puzzle about a cabin. And when we got it all done, she kind of put some glue on it, and we got it in a picture frame up at my cabin. And that's pretty special. But you know something? I used to always like to take one piece of puzzle and just hide it. And then you get the puzzle all together, and then one piece is missing. One piece is missing. Then I'd go get, and after a while they knew, well, you got that somewhere, Dad. And I put that last piece of puzzle in. You know, somebody had said this, Jesus is like a piece of puzzle. There's a place in your heart that only Jesus fits. And if you try to put something else in that place, it isn't going to work. It isn't going to come about because it's a place for just Jesus. It's shaped for just Jesus in your life. And so we need to realize that God is saying to you, and he's saying to me this morning, I want you to realize that you're part of my life. We need to realize that God is saying, what I can do in your life, you won't be able to accomplish. But it's possible when I come into your life for you to be able to do those things. And by the way, you know what that man said? What's missing in my life? I think we have to have times when we ask ourselves, what's missing in my life? Have I asked Jesus to be that part of the puzzle? Have I asked Jesus to come into my life? Have I prayed to him for the forgiveness of sin? That he can enter my life. And what he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in, and I will fellowship with him, and he will fellowship with me. Jesus had disciples that he had picked. Remember, I said when he picked his disciples, he spent all night in prayer. And he's got these 12 men that's been following him. And all of a sudden, what this situation brought about is a question in the life of one of those men, Peter. And the question was, we've left everything to follow you. And they did. They were fishermen, and they left their boats, their nets, they left their job, and they followed Jesus. Listen to what it says in Matthew 19. We have left everything to follow you. What then shall there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of things, at the end of time, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left a house, or you've left a brother or sister or father or mother, a child, a field, for my sake, will be given back, will receive 100 times what you gave up, and you inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. You know, Bev and I, we shared our life as a pastor at Shiloh Church for 50 years. And we were with a feeling that Paul was, we are just bond servants. We're supposed to be busy for the Lord and doing things. And we did a lot of things where we reached out to hurting people with our lives, where we reached out to children, where we reached out to adults, where we reached out to the sick and the dying, started doing funerals, and never thinking it would end up being that I'd do over 5,000 funerals in my lifetime. And, you know, we enjoyed doing all the things that we've done. But you know what? He's telling us that we need to come to the point where we realize maybe you won't always be able to do all the things you have done. You know, one of these things that I have learned this last month, it's been a humbling experience, folks. I always wanted to do for others, and now others do for me. I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, the church family have been so good. They've brought in so many meals. And I got to tell you, not only are they good cooks, but they're loving people. But it's humbling to have them come another day, another meal. 2-3 meals at a time. You realize all of a sudden I've had to learn this verse that I really like, and it's really become a big part of my life. Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. I just had to thank God for the people of Shiloh and bringing us the lunches and think, you know what? God saying, I've heard this message. I've been preached this message in this last month by many different people. And here God saying to me, it's time for you to receive. It's time for you also to realize others need to be a blessing. You've been a blessing to others. Now God wants to be a blessing to you. And that is something that is very special. And I want to close this service with the idea that when you and I come to this place of understanding God's goodness to us, it's something that is very special for our individual life. We're going to close with a song that I believe with all my heart is true. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for Him to do. Nothing is impossible for Him to accomplish, and we need to trust Him. And I just want to say thank you to all of those that's been a support of us during this difficult time of our life, that God would bless you in a very special way. And thank you through the years of letting me be a part of your life as well in the things that I was able to do, because that adds so much to our life as an individual. I got a song now we're going to listen to, and this song will be a help to each one of us, I trust. And God bless you, and thank you for letting me share with you and for putting up with my voice. God bless you.
Nothing is impossible, nothing too great. Jesus made the promise, I will claim the name forever, walking in the Spirit, leading day by day. Jesus always makes the way. Always makes the way.
Standing on the promise that I cannot fail, fighting in the army that will prevail, given all authority with sword and shield to march a winning soldier on the battlefield.
Nothing is impossible, nothing too great. Jesus made the promise, I will claim the name forever, walking in the Spirit, leading day by day. Jesus always makes the way.
At Calvary, to show a losing world how much He cared for me, by applying